Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 250, recorded on April 17th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is the wonderful, fabulous, happy Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How you doing, Adam?
Super pissed. Yeah. I'm going to sound like garbage. My Skype's all messed up.
You sound good right now.
There's a rat in my pool.
There's a rat in your pool?
Yeah, I found a rat in my pool yesterday.
Was he dead?
My sites are all getting hacked.
Is he? Does he have a little?
What other depressing thing can I say?
Is he like floating on a little like inner tube with and little rat sunglasses?
Face down.
Oh, I had a much cuter image in my head.
Yeah, there's an image on my Twitter that people really want to see the gruesomeness that is the dead rat.
Dead rat face down in the skimmer in the pool with his arms still wrapped around the empty tequila bottle.
There we go. There's some magic. Jeff Gamet, bringing the magic from the
bringing the magic.
Yeah,
my problems aren't nearly as bad as yours, Adam. I just can't get my AT&T microcell to work. It started power cycling, and has been doing that for a day now.
I'd be fine with it if there was a reason for it. But I'm running. You know, I run speed tests, and I've got like oodles and oodles of bandwidth. I can stream video all day long. It's only Skype. It's giving me fits. I have like a rock solid, really good internet connection.
So thanks, Microsoft.
There's no fathomable, I don't even know. But I mean, I'm on calls with other people who are on Skype and they're fine. So it's just my Skype. I don't know. Maybe I need to trash it and just reinstall it from scratch. Don't know what's going on.
I mean,
I've shut everything down. I've got no backups running.
Okay.
Dropbox shut down. Everything's shut down.
We'll get through it. We'll do it. This show, of course, is sponsored by Lynda this week at lynda.com/TIOSS. And we'll talk more about their wonderful services later on in the show. And we recorded Thursday last week. And that's significant because Thursday night, Friday morning at midnight, well, like midnight 02, Apple Watch pre-orders begun, and they didn't last long because it seems like they sold out in about 6 hours of everything. They sold out of the black sport, the space gray sport, in about 20 minutes.
I don't think it was that long.
it was faster than that.
It was about 10 minutes.
Well, if you call, okay, what do you call sellout? It's something that's beyond the April 24th date?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then it was less than that. It was maybe about...
5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
So did we all get in on the first wave of watch orders?
No.
Yes.
Oh, no, Jeff, what happened?
Well, I have a feeling that it's the model that I ordered. So I'm in the second wave.
You got the edition?
Yeah. No, I went with the 38 millimeter space gray sport. And
really?
I think it's because it was the 38 millimeter. Because everyone that I've been able to talk with that ordered the same watch, they all had the same problem.
Interesting.
Or the same ship date. And I placed my order... let's see. Dave Hamilton's order went in or processed at 12:03, and then I think mine was 12:05. And he went with 42 millimeter, and he's in the first wave. And so here I am like a minute and a half-ish later, and I'm in the second wave.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got a 38, and I'm in the first wave. But I didn't get a space gray black one. I got a silver one.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If you went with a space gray, you in 38 millimeter, you're not getting it in the April 24th to May 8th window.
Did you get the sport, Adam?
Yep, I totally changed my whole order.
So you get the white
last
one?
Last minute. Blue. But
oh, blue. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then the 38 millimeter because my wife, for whatever reason, like last minute expressed interest in maybe, there's a maybe I would want the Apple Watch when you upgrade.
Oh.
So I, and she was adamant she didn't want the larger one. So.
Wow.
Knowing that, you know, I'm going to upgrade next year, you know, and functionally it's exactly the same. So I didn't think the size was going to be that big a deal. It is.
Gruber says it's going to be less battery life.
As yes, that's true.
Seriously, like a bunch of people said that. Like by how much?
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
I don't know that
if
it's
you look
been
at
quantified.
Apple specs, the battery
spec
run time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. So they have different run times for the battery, depending on which screen size you have, but they do the charge times all based on the 38 millimeter.
I thought the run times on that battery thing were also all based on the 38 millimeter.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No,
that's what it said on that page.
Really?
Did I misinterpret it?
Maybe, because I'm pretty sure I saw two different run times listed.
So it has been quantified.
Oh, Apple has a great page on it. It's like Apple, if you go to Apple.com/watch/battery or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Up to 18
hours. And all I noticed
hours.
Was the little thing at the bottom. Where was it? I'm going to find it now. Apple Watch battery performance claims are based on test results from the 38 millimeter Apple Watch.
A 42 millimeter Apple Watch typically experiences longer battery life.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the only mention of a difference in the in their
yeah. I knew there was a mention somewhere.
Yeah. So
it's still 18 hours. It's still so yeah, maybe you're gonna get a little more out of the 42, but yeah. I don't expect it to be even an hour.
Yeah, it'll be
You're talking about less than 4 millimeters, because really the 38 is 38.6 millimeters. And the 42 is exactly 42.
This is some minutia right now.
Although there is the width, too, so you got to factor in that. Like, the width, so there is some on the width, too, so I guess squared.
I would imagine the electronics, the S1 and all that.
All exactly the same.
Probably exactly the same, so you get a little more room for juices. Better.
Yeah, I wasn't that worried about. And the ability to hand it down rather than have to deal with selling it is fine, and the fact that really what I need it for is to talk about the functionality and how it's used.
Yeah,
that's all going to work out fine too. It's just when I went to do my try on, I was definitely disappointed. It even though it's only like 3.5 millimeters shorter, the width across my wrist, it felt really tiny. But there's also this whole comparison thing too going on. Because I've been wearing my Pebble, which is 50 millimeters high. So it's significantly smaller than that. And
yeah, I didn't notice any difference when I tried on a 42 mil and then another variant at the 38.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even notice.
See, I was doing them side by side. And I think that's where part of my mistake is, too. I think taken alone, I'm not going to notice it as much as I was when I was sitting there with them side by side. And also, I had just taken off my Pebble. So I was going from 50 millimeters, then trying on a 42, and then going all the way down to 38. So it was definitely noticeable in that, you know, few minute span when I was actually doing my try-ons. Interesting thing. So I wore my Pebble in. I took my Pebble off and like went to go set it down on the counter, and the girl goes, "You can't put that there." She's like, she told us, "You can't put your watches on the counter."
That's
why I had to like awkwardly stick it in my pocket.
Wow,
yeah,
that's really weird.
They will not let you take your watch off and set it on the little, you know, count on the table, the Apple Watch table, when you're doing your try on. I didn't, you know, it's weird, but it's not, because it's Apple being controlling. My guess is they don't want someone snapping a photo of a non-Apple Watch sitting on their Apple Watch counter
perhaps
during a try-on.
Yeah.
and that, you know, going out on the internet or Facebook or Instagram or something.
Yeah, they probably also don't want people forgetting their own watch and then...
Yeah, maybe. But I think this is more about controlling the image of the Apple Watch.
I would guess
anything
so.
Else.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The Apple Watch page, the homepage and everything has been saying for a while it's coming on April 24th. Pre-orders starting, what was it? The 10th? Yeah, the 10th. Mm-hmm. And right. So those dates were listed, and specifically April 24th, Apple Watch is coming. And then there were some emails. Specifically, a guy, Andrew Turco, from one of the MacRumors forums users, sent an email to Tim Cook, a very lengthy email, and got a response over his concerns regarding the fact that... it didn't seem like the 24th was the launch date because you can't get one at the store at all. It seemed kind of like more like the 10th was the launch date, if anything.
So his concern was I didn't get up at midnight. I figured I could wait till the 24th and get a watch.
No, it was mainly just confusion over posting... Hey, on the 24th, the Apple Watch is available when it won't be available at the store or...
Right, no, I get it. But I mean,
yeah, so confusing messaging.
Just what I said was his concern is like, you told us the 24th was when we could buy these things. Pre-orders on the 10th, but pre-orders doesn't shouldn't supersede availability in store on the 24th.
Yeah, especially given the precedent that has been set with the iPhone over the years right. In similar situations. So they responded saying that they're concerned about these issues and they're having meetings about it. Long story short is they have updated the material on Apple's site. So on the homepage and on the Apple Watch page and everything, it says the watch is coming, pre-order now. Removing the mention of April 24th because April 24th means nothing except for some people will be getting deliveries then.
Right. Maybe. Because other commercials still say coming April 24th.
Well, it'll take a while for those to work their way out of the
right
system. They've got to do new cards and then put new back ends on all those and then resubmit them back out to all of the resyndicate it out to all the stations.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I worked in advertising. I know how this goes. When you screw up a title card like that or need to make a change, it's a slow process. It'll take a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It'll probably be longer than it'll even take to for the things to be available, but I guess not saying...
I doubt that.
Yeah. I mean, either way, you probably want to put it out there because even if it goes out on the 24th, the changes are updated on the 24th, it's still going to be useful even a week from then for it to not say available now or available on the 24th because...
Yeah, considering you can't get a watch now until June at the earliest, or July possibly.
Is it June for every watch now?
Some of them are July.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the Black Link bracelet, the Space Black Link bracelet is July.
Yep.
And it looks like Apple won't even have watches in stores for purchase until maybe July or June. Excuse me, June.
Are they ever going to have them in store for purchase or are they going to continue this? You got to buy online and pick up in store.
I believe eventually they plan to have them in store.
Well, that's the plan.
I really don't want them.
I mean, we were supposed to have flying cars and moon bases by now, too.
Yeah, but those weren't announced.
I don't think going all anywhere. Gateway.
Yeah.
So Angela Arendts, she says, blah, blah, blah. Are we going to, well, regarding if they're going to change their whole paradigm as to how they launch products, if they're going to get rid of the lines and everything, she says no. I'm skeptical of that. Although this...
I understand your skepticism.
This may...
I believe her, at least for now. I think the issue we're dealing with today is that Apple Watch is a completely new product category, completely new manufacturing systems. I mean, this is brand new from the ground up. And there's a lot of stuff that they're still having to sort out as they ramp up the production.
Yeah.
With products like iPhone and iPad, even though they make major changes of every couple of years, they have a long track record now of building these. And so they have a much more streamlined process. So I think because of that, we won't be seeing the Apple Watch style of selling for Apple's other products. I think this is just a short-term thing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, she says they expect the online-only exclusive to continue through the month of May. So perhaps after May, well, then it's June, which is when people are seeing their ship dates for the most part, if you buy now. So I guess we'll have to see. I think it probably just depends on when they can alleviate the demand and bring on more supply.
Yeah. So.
And as far as numbers go, I was expecting Apple to make some kind of announcement the following Monday as to how well they did over the weekend, because they have done that in the past with iPhones. However, I think that's because they just do crazy well with iPhones. Ming-Chi Kuo thinks that they that the orders exceeded 2.3 million units based on the fact that manufacturing checks, he believes that up through May, March through May, their production lines would have produced 2.3 million. So given that orders are out through June, he believes it's at least 2.3 million, if not more. And he believes that the reason for production issues would stem from the bottlenecks would be the haptic feedback engines and the AMOLED displays.
Those displays are really nice.
Yeah. Have you used it in direct sunlight or high bright light?
No. For some reason, they wouldn't let me leave the store with the test model.
How would you do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some stores have the skylights, right?
Oh, yeah. Some stores, actually, you can get to a window.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I did ask some people, employees at the store if they had used them outside, and they had not. And I guess nobody at the store had gotten Cupertino training, this fancy training on the watch, as we were kind of expecting at least one employee at every store to get.
Well, yeah. Well, one employee, you got to track that person down.
They said nobody at their store.
Not a single person at that store went to get Cupertino or Texas training.
That's what I was told. I mean, they may be ill-informed. So, who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's that. So let's talk about the sponsor and get back to some more watch stuff. So, of course, our sponsor this week is Linda at lynda.com/Tios. Just go learn something already. I think that should be their new slogan. you can go to lynda.com and you get a free 10-day trial, and they have crazy amounts of stuff that you can learn. Software packages, you can learn, you know, the Office suite, you can learn all the Apple Work suite. Are they calling it Apple Work anymore? Or am I iWork, sorry. Apple Work.
iWork.
Apple Works, yeah.
That's old. I think you could probably learn that somewhere on there. Photoshop, all the Adobe CS stuff they have. There's just so much to learn. I've only skimmed the surface with Photoshop, and in fact I think that's how I learned many of the skills that I have with Photoshop. They have over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills, and they're all taught by professional people who are experts in their field. So when you're looking at the Swift training videos, You're learning from a developer who has many, many years of experience. He's gone through this stuff and he knows it cold, and he's going to give you that knowledge, maybe even better than you'd get it from a college. Because if you went, like, if you went to the community college and you got training in any of this software stuff, you're learning with a group of other students. So one, you don't get the one-on-one time as you would, where it's kind of concentrated just for you. And two, you don't get to pause that professor, but you can pause this professor and Linda, and you get a full transcript. You don't have to worry about recording or taking notes. I mean, certainly I do take notes when I learn from Linda. But you have all the entire transcript right there. You can, it's an interactive transcript, so it follows along as you go, and you can actually click into exactly the spot that you want, and you can search the entire database. It's awesome. And it's not just software. You can learn 3D and animation techniques, as well as learning how to put those techniques to good use in various pieces of software like After Effects and 3ds Max and Cinema 4D and Maya and Photoshop and all that stuff. You get audio and music stuff, learning about, they call them DAWs or DAWs? I think they're DAWs, right? The digital audio something something? I guess, whatever.
Don't know.
Tons of audio stuff. Dave would know, I'm sure. Ableton, you can learn Ableton. Reason, Logic, you get, of course, Final Cut is in there for video stuff, photography, not only software, but techniques, marketing, IT stuff. I mean, you can get a new career going with the stuff that Linda has here. It's seriously an awesome tool. And I've said it before, if anybody ever asks me personally, hey, I want to get into, you know, Photoshop, I want to learn how to use Photoshop, how do I do that? And I, without hesitation, I say, go to lynda.com. They've got it. And it's awesome. So, of course, you get unlimited access to every course on Lynda when you sign up. And throughout the 10-day trial, you can just go nuts and binge out on all the courses that you want. You can go through and make playlists and bookmarks and all that kind of stuff. You can do it on your iPhone, on your Android devices, your iPad, all that. And they have new courses added every week. They have stuff like Swift training, HTML, JavaScript, PHP, Objective-C, iOS, tons of stuff. It's awesome. So check it out. It'll give you unlimited access to all the training on hundreds, hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an industry expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, lynda.com/TIOSS. Get a free 10-day trial and go crazy and learn something. It's awesome. So with that, Apple has added new guided tours for the watch, ones that we've been hoping for. Just clicking that refresh button over and over again. So you get to check out the phone calls, how to make phone calls on your Apple Watch. How to use Siri, Maps, and Music. And it's interesting, Siri doesn't seem to be very sociable on the Apple Watch. She doesn't say anything back to you, at least in the demo. Did you guys notice that?
Huh. No, I hadn't.
I wonder if that's a setting or something. I know that on the phone, you can say this. It's something like provide additional audio feedback or something like that. And of course, she has different modes depending on if you're if you say "Hey Siri" and you're plugged in and that sort of thing. Because I think she kind of assumes that you're not necessarily looking directly at the screen, sort of thing. Versus if you do it directly with the home button. But it was neat seeing the phone calls thing. There are extra options. You can tell it to hand off to your iPhone when a phone call comes in. Not entirely sure how that works. You can scroll down with when a phone call is coming in and say answer on iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'll, I assume you'll
be able to.
The
Pebble does that.
What's that?
The Pebble will let me pick up a phone call on my phone.
But when you press that button, does it automatically answer on your phone and then you have to pull it out?
Yep. Hmm. Yeah, I never used the feature because it makes no sense. I don't know in what context it would make sense to do it because
it'd be faster to just pull it.
How about if you have a Bluetooth headset in all the time?
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but, but otherwise that would be stupid.
With a Bluetooth headset,
pull your phone out.
Sorry, with a Bluetooth headset, wouldn't it be just paired to your phone or to your watch anyway?
Not necessarily. Depends on how you do it. Depends on if you want to pair with your phone or your watch. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, as it's shown in the music app, you choose your source. And it was kind of funny at the very end of the music app demo. It was very, very fluid and easy to understand. But at the in the last 5 seconds, it's like, and if you want to play music on your from your watch, all you have to do is go to your watch, force tap and change your source, and then go to settings and change your Bluetooth settings and then pair your Bluetooth thing. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah. That's sort of like the that joke cartoon that I've seen several times. How an artist explains how to draw an owl: first, you create a circle. Second, you finish drawing the owl.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the circle for?
An owl head.
Oh, an owl. I thought you said L, like the letter L. I'm sorry.
Oh. All right.
It makes more sense now.
I bet it makes a lot more sense now.
You draw a circle and then you finish drawing the owl. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the videos are neat. Let's see here. And they do still have the hidden diagnostic port. So I went there on the 10th to my Apple store. And although the reports said that they wouldn't allow you to flip the bands off or anything, they were really cool. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can totally just pull the band off. I'll show you how to do it. And you can put it on yourself and all that. So I slipped the band off the watch that I was playing with. And sure enough, they still have the data ports there. And if you look at the demo slabs they have with the mini attached to it, the first thing you'll notice is that as you're doing stuff on the watch, it actually mirrors information to the iPad. So it tells you about what you're looking at, as well as charging the device. So you could say that the charging, could just be done through the inductive charger. But I'm thinking they're doing some extra stuff through that data port on those slabs.
Probably. That's my guess too.
Now, John Gruber, slid the band off his demo watch or his review unit, which I presume is closer to what we'll actually see, being mailed out. And there is a little metal cover over the port on his. And because it's property of Apple, he's been told to not disassemble. So he will, he said he wouldn't be trying to take that off. But I assume that it makes sense for it to be there because if you brick your watch, you got to take it to the Genius Bar and they have to,
They have to do magic. Yeah.
So.
When I pulled the bands off of two different watches, when I did my try on, they both had the exposed data port.
Yeah. Did you guys have any interesting experience with your try on? I was pleased with, the Taptic feedback. Some people said that it was weaker than they had anticipated, but it seemed really, really cool when I tried it.
Yeah, the Taptic feedback was fine for me. The whole experience was really nice. They treated me like I was someone special, and the person helping me, they didn't know who I was, so it's not like I was getting special treatment because they're like, hey, oh, that's a guy from Mac Observer. I was just some guy that came in to try on a watch.
Did you schedule an appointment?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you would need them, though, based on my experience in my Apple store.
Yeah, I agree.
There was plenty. Like, when I went in, it was only me and one other person, and there was, like, 8 stations open. This was Saturday after pre-order started, Saturday morning.
I went in on the 10th. I had like a 12:15 appointment. I was there just a couple minutes after noon, and they started me early and let me stay as long as I wanted and doted over me. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they knew about the favorites too. That was neat.
Yep.
And But yeah, I got to play with as many of the watches as I wanted. And some people said that they weren't allowed to put them on themselves. I had no problem. I asked them if it was fine, and they said go for it.
Did they tell you had to keep your hand over the pad? That's what I was told.
I didn't have that experience, although I'm not sure I attempted.
Oh, I didn't have that either. And I was standing off to the side a little bit.
Yeah, I know. She was like, you gotta keep your arm over the pad. She's like, that's fine, but you gotta keep your arm over the little blue pad.
With the watch on or as you're doing it, as you're putting it on?
Putting it on or off or doing it, yeah, just basically manipulating the watch from my wrist. And I think it was just, you know, so it doesn't like smash fall on the floor.
Sure.
And I don't know about your stores, but my stores did not have a full complement of watch options or selections.
Yeah, I didn't.
Like the drawer wasn't full. They didn't have all the slots filled. And she's like, yeah, I don't have this one. Like they didn't have the space black and black link bracelet. They had the stainless version.
Oh, mine seemed to have tons of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The store I was in, the 29th Street store in Boulder, they didn't
you guys
have.
Hear me? Can't hear me.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
You're getting real bad, though. You're getting real Cylon-y.
Yeah, bad, bad, Adam. Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that was interesting to me was the Force Touch. So when I went over to use the slab model that you can actually play with, first of all, a lot of the functions are disabled on that thing. There's a lot of things you just can't do, which was interesting. But you can manipulate the watch faces and customize them and add new watch faces. That was the one thing I didn't realize is, so when you force touch the watch face and you go to customize and select, it's not as though you're choosing from one of the seven or whatever watch faces that you want to use. What you're actually doing is flipping through a list of presets that you would ostensibly set up yourself. And when you force touch the watch face and you can swipe through them, but you can also flick them up to delete them. And then there will be a card at the end where you can press and add a new one. So you can, in the end, make your three favorite watch faces that are exactly customized the way that you want. And that way you can very easily switch watch faces as you see fit. And I thought that was really neat. But the Force Touch, I didn't really understand how to use it exactly right away, because I thought it was just a long touch, right? I thought you just, when you went to the maps, for example, you just kind of press and hold, and I wasn't really getting anything to work. And I thought, oh, it's just the demo. It doesn't have some of the stuff in there. And then I realized, oh, I'm not pressing hard enough. You truly do need to press hard on the screen, or harder than you would. And then you get those things up. So as many reviews have indicated, there is a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, the learning curve didn't seem that bad to me.
No, it's certainly not that steep, but it's a bit of, I think it's akin to when the first iPhone came out, you had to figure out how certain things worked with the little nuances are.
Sure. I don't think it was nearly as difficult to figure out as some of the early reviewers were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that people are saying it took several days to figure out how to use the watch. But once they had it, it was real easy.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think it'll be a day and you'll be cruising along on that thing.
Yeah, I was feeling pretty comfortable with the watch after playing with it for about 15 minutes. So if I can pick it up that fast, it can't be that bad, right?
Surely. Surely not.
I don't know. I thought the interface was very confusing.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even knowing everything I know, I mean, there's a learning curve on it, but I'm not saying that necessarily is a bad thing. It's just a new UI. It's a new paradigm. And I think people are going to have to really get used to it.
Yeah. Well, there are certain things like you can't look at glances or the notification center unless you are in the watch app.
Right.
Yeah. And that was confusing.
There's new experiences. There's new gestures. There's new, and you know, I'm trying to think back, like, I knew a lot about the iPhone and I read a lot about the iPhone and all those sorts of things before it came out. But it's hard to remember back when we first, you know, when you first got your iPhone, how intuitive really was it at, you know, the very first day or even the first week that you were using it? There was a ramp up curve. It's not huge. It's not a huge learning curve, but I think people expect to be able to pick it up and use it immediately and not have any issues getting to anything. And I think that's
very
false.
That will lead to frustration.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of had that going in because I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. And I was using the demo unit and I couldn't figure out how to do stuff. It took me a few minutes to like figure certain things out. Like I didn't understand the whole force touch thing to access the different watch face options and how to get to the complications and, you know, how do I navigate to a complication and how do I adjust which complication I want to have in which area? I mean, that whole process took several minutes of kind of poking and prodding around before I figured it out.
Yeah.
But you do it once and then you learn it, right? And then you're going to know that gesture language. So we sort of have to teach ourselves a new set of gestures that are specific and sort of interactions that are specific to the watch interface and the watch UI.
Yeah, but I think that the addition of force touch is a really good move on Apple's part, because when I used the Android Wear watches, it seemed like everything was swipe-based. But you had to know exactly how you had to swipe it in order to make something happen, right?
There wasn't consistency.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like there's much more consistency here, which, of course, makes it easier to understand how to use and navigate around. And I think that it, much like the original iPhone, is just one of those things that you poke and you prod and you figure it out, and it becomes intuitive. And I think some of the basic stuff just surfaces as you go. It just kind of appears. And I think it gives you little hints and stuff like that too. So it looks promising.
Yeah.
Let's see here. As far as the sports band, we were talking about swapping bands and there was Band Swapper and all sorts of other places where you could bye-bye Band Swapper.
Yeah, that was a short-lived business model.
Yeah, that was like 30 seconds and it was done.
Why?
Well, that's because it doesn't include two full bands in the watch. It includes like one and a half bands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a three part. It seems like the part with the notches, you get two parts with notches and one part with the clasp. And that's how it works. So band swapping, not going to happen. At least not in the way that we were hoping.
Right.
Not going to be that big a deal.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And people may go like 80s old school and totally swatch themselves out and swap band segments so they have two color pieces for their bands.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Well, and I mean, really, how much of that was going to be going on? I think there's going to be more. Here's the thing. You're going to have so many inexpensive band options that it'll make your head spin. So you're going to be able to go out and buy... Crap, there goes my connection again. I'm just not going to talk through it.
Well, I think there was...
You could do interpretive dance.
Isn't it like $40 for the sport band?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about Apple's bands. I'm talking about third-party bands. You'll be able to get, you know, like 10 bands for $10 at some point.
That's not what I mean. I'm saying that the sport band, even the sport band alone, okay, $50 is kind of ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous.
So we're most definitely going to be seeing third-party bands, and it seems like Apple does not mind that.
No. Because that's a style thing. So like I said, you're going to have someone's going to sell, you know, 10 different band combinations, just cheap plastic ones, for like $10. And you'll be able to get all kinds of different designs and materials. And I mean, so I think bands are going to be... Again, the case of the Apple Watch, you know, like cases where for iPhones, bands are going to be to the Apple Watch, and it's really going to be about setting your personal style.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to do what you want and mix and match if you want, or go real high end upscale if you want, or, you know, dress it down, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I people are freaking out over the whole, you know, limited bands thing and the cost of Apple's bands and all that, but it's not going to be that. You're going to have so many options that this is not going to be a problem.
I agree. It's not going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. 1Password has updated their app for iOS, and you'll be able to use it on your Apple Watch. And it looks really cool. So I believe the way it's going to work is you can pre-select the items that you want to have on your Apple Watch. And they talk about the use case of, like, if you have a locker at the gym and you have to get the passcode, you just have that on your Apple Watch, and I assume it'll be authenticated through the contact sensor and on the back of the watch. And or talking about giving your credit card details over the phone for your pizza order and that sort of thing. I think it'll be really neat having 1Password on your wrist.
Do you store your credit cards in 1Password?
Yeah.
That's one thing I haven't put in 1Password yet.
Yes, I do have credit cards in 1Password.
Yeah, I do. It's really nice. Along with IDs and that sort of thing.
Yep, me too.
What would you need IDs for?
Sometimes you have to give your driver's license number.
Yeah,
you don't have it memorized?
Why in the hell would I memorize that?
Yeah, I don't need to memorize any of that stuff. It's all in 1Password.
I have that memorized, and I have 1 credit card number that I use most frequently memorized, including the CVV2 code, security code.
You're like an elephant.
I memorized where I live so I can get home.
It happened, the 1Card happened naturally because I used it so much for buying stuff that over the course of a couple of years, it just ended up being memorized.
Yeah, yeah. Apple's announced WWDC. It's going to be in June, the 8th through the 12th at Moscone Center, Moscone West, in San Francisco. Let's see here. Have the tickets gone out already? Is it over?
No. Today the lottery closed.
Ah, okay.
And then by Monday afternoon, everyone that won a lottery spot will—they'll be notified, and their credit card will be charged.
$1,600.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on going, you better be serious.
Exactly. I think that's what that charge is. To weed out the people who aren't serious about it. iOS 8.3 closed down the ability to use stuff like iFunbox, iExplorer, and similar tools. So for those who don't know, those were some wonderful utilities that allowed you to back up individual app data without requiring a jailbreak. So just using the standard communication through which iTunes functions. And you could actually make tweaks and that sort of thing. And it was awesome. But 8.3 disabled that. Kind of a bummer.
Yep. Apparently, Apple does not think that that we need to have fine or granular control over the data on our iOS devices.
Yeah. Yeah, so... use case for jailbreaking, I guess. Although you got to wonder if the iBackup bot... I wonder if iBackup bot still works. Because that works by pulling the backup file and then putting it back on to your device using the restore method. So,
sorry, I might have missed this, but did it kill Walter?
I don't know. That's the video encoding thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have to give that a shot. I hope it didn't.
Yeah, that'll let you take any video file or audio file, have it encoded and sent directly to the device without iTunes.
Walter is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Some people are saying that it still works. I don't know. Not Walter, but iFunbox. But that's... I should give it a try. pop open iPhone box, but they have specifically said that it's not working. The iPhone box guys.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Doesn't seem to be working. That box is no longer fun. It's no longer iPhone. Or is it iBox fun? I don't know.
Does that mean like Phone View is broken as well?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Phone View, I think I have that. Probably Phone Clean, all those. I'm sure. No, yeah, Phone View doesn't work. Although
this is with iOS 8.4 or
8.3. Fixes an issue in which data transfer may not work properly with 8.3. So maybe it's just a hiccup. Maybe they just kind of changed data protocols.
So it's just the transfer part, not the browsing part.
I don't know.
I'm just testing real quick. Phone View.
Yeah, I've got Phone View open as well. It says it's loading. I did update it. I don't know.
I was able to pull a plist file off my iPhone. So.
Oh yeah.
Phone View. Yeah.
Were you able to upload?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I never upload stuff into there. Very rarely.
All right. And
the only time I ever did that was with, I would have to do that sometimes when I would have to do a erase and not restore from backup. And I needed to get my Paper by 53 albums back because those aren't backed up and aren't restored when you do a, although they've changed that now. Now they have the ability to back up your Paper by 53 albums to the cloud,
which is great.
Oh, I have to trust the computer. That would help. In Phone View. No, no. Still not working.
I can see where that would be useful.
And oh, there we go. Well.
Yeah, I think there's a line somewhere where like iFunbox is more sort of a, not egregious, but it goes deeper than something like Phone View.
Maybe.
Because there's things you can do with iFunbox that I know you can't do with Phone View. In terms of like hacking like plist file or certain files and things like that.
I believe the difference is that with apps that provide iTunes file access, I think those work. Anything else? Although 1Password somehow, I can get in there, of all apps.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Phone View is not working for me.
Came right up for me, so seems to be working.
No, it comes up, but the only app that I can get access to is 1Password and other apps that allow file access, like documents and those sorts of things. So. Doesn't seem to be working anymore. I guess it's right. Okay.
Oh, like when you select the app, you can't see it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing that because like if I select transmit, I'm not seeing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bummer. All right. So with that, I think we're going to do our picks. So Jeff, do you have a pick this week?
Yes, I do. My pick this week is an app called Hooks. And what it does is it lets you create push notifications for things that you otherwise wouldn't have push notifications for. So, like you can set it up so that if your website goes down, you'll get an alert. Or the one I set up the other day, since it's springtime, I set up an alert for high pollen count days.
Oh,
yeah, which is pretty cool, and. You can get words are hard today. Shipment tracking, so you can have push notifications without needing another app to handle it, just for notifications about shipment tracking. And anyhow, there's a bunch of stuff that you can do with it. It has a pretty long list of specialized push notifications that you can set up.
Can you do one where it checks for changes in a page? In a web page?
Possibly. There's a lot that you can do with web content. So, yeah, you might be able to set it up to look for web page changes.
I'm
not completely certain on that, though.
Well, it's free, so...
Yeah, that's right. It's free.
Yeah, hooks, alerts for everything. That looks cool. Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, Adam, what's your pick this week?
I thought Jeff was going to do the AstroPad update.
What's AstroPad?
I thought about it, but since I've talked about AstroPad before, I decided to go with hooks.
Yeah. AstroPad's that app that lets you use your iPad basically as like a Wacom tablet.
Like a pressure-sensitive Wacom tablet. Yeah.
Oh.
They just added support for the pencil.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I was expecting that to be Jeff's pick again, but this one's even better.
All right,
I just wanted to throw that out there so people knew. My pick is Trivia Crack.
Oh, no.
Was that going to be your pick?
No.
Oh.
I just thought that was the
Why?
Mainstream.
Because it's awful? You don't like it? No, I love it. I'm totally hooked. I knew I was going to like this app, and it's been out for a while, and I had been avoiding it because I knew it was going to have some elements that I'm not going to like about it, and that is true. But the base gameplay is enough there that I'm willing to forgive it to get my sort of competitive playing with friends trivia fix going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like a version of Trivial Pursuit for the iPhone or iPad. Because what you're trying to do is collect in this case, it's the character instead of a little wedge color, but you're trying to collect a character in one of, I want to say it's six categories. I'm trying to remember. It's either six or seven categories. So you have like geography and art and science and media or entertainment, and you have to answer a question. And what happens is if you can get three questions in a row correct, then you can get to the level of actually trying to get a collected character in a category. And the first person to get all of the categories, the characters in all the different categories, wins the match. So you can challenge people. One of the things I don't like, and I knew I wasn't going to like about it, is it integrates via Facebook. So you got to do that whole Facebook login thing. I think. I don't think they have an email-only option. They may, but
I
Facebook
think
was just the easier way to go.
I can't remember. I know my girlfriend tried to use it. I don't know if she did end up using it. That might have been the one she was frustrated with because she doesn't have Facebook. So
yeah, yeah. So you have that going on. The other thing is there's kind of a forced in-app payment sort of thing. So you get three, they call them lives, and it's basically three challenges. So you can throw out a challenge to three people, and you get three challenges, new challenges, like every hour, unless you want to buy more. And I think you can buy an unlimited pack where you can, you know, do as many games, concurrent games as you want, but it's $25, so it's not cheap. So you'd have to really like this app to I think, spend that much money on it. And, you know, that may be worthwhile for some people. You know, I'm all about supporting developers and paying them for their apps. But, you know, then there's still other in-app purchases with this one. So, I'm of the mind to either let me pay for the whole thing or do the in-app purchase thing. But this sort of hybrid where I pay and then I have to pay more and then I have to pay more thing gets a little annoying, but you don't have to pay anything. And I haven't paid anything for this because you just wait, you know, so it's the whole Candy Crush sort of thing. You get to a point and then you either wait or you have to ask your friends on Facebook. That doesn't bother a lot of people. It bothers me a little bit. But because it's not real time, you know, waiting it out is not that big a deal. And I'm a busy person. So this is kind of one of those games that I've just relegated to. I'll play when, you know, the challenge comes back in and then I don't have to worry about it for a day or a couple hours. And I don't feel like I have to get right back to it either. Although your games will time out. I think if it's your turn and you sit on it for more than 48 hours, I think the game expires. The only bummer thing about that is if you've challenged someone and the game expires, you do not get your challenge thing back.
Oh,
so like
sucks.
Sort of once you've used that life, you've got to wait to get the more lives. So I didn't like that about it. But the game is totally fun, and it's got some pretty good leaderboards, and you kind of work your way up. They also have a couple of what they call challenge modes. I haven't really done this, so you can challenge up to, like, I think 30 people at once, where everybody plays, and then the person who gets the most questions answered correctly sort of wins the challenge round of a bunch of people. So they have the head-to-head, which is more of the classic, and then they have the sort of challenge mode. And I've really enjoyed playing it. The other thing is it's all the questions and answers and stuff are done socially. So it does have an editor. You can go in, you can add your own questions or submit your own questions to be approved. And then also as you're playing, you can rank and rate questions as well as say when a question might have errors or something like that. So it's sort of community curated as well. So some of the questions can be really easy, some can be really hard. And I kind of like that mix of stuff. So Trivia Crack, and it is ad supported. I went ahead and paid the $2.99 because I hate the ads, and I've heard the ads can also be egregious. So they do have a free version. But if you don't want to have the ads, which I've heard the ads, you know, are bad, then it's $2.99, I think, for the ad free. There you go. But I'm hooked on it. But I've been hooked on other trivia apps, and then they've gone away. So I don't know how long. I don't know if I'll stick with this one or move on to another one. But
so enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, I like trivia, but this one seems like it's had some sticking power because it's been out for a while, and I know people who are really addicted to it. I think it has a sub Candy Crush level kind of following, and it uses a lot of the same sort of payment mechanisms as something like a Candy Crush. So if you don't like that sort of thing, then avoid it at all costs. But if you can deal with it, and I seem to be able to, or can, and I really kind of hate those models, as people who have been listening know. So there you go.
All right. There you go.
There you go.
So I think my pick is going to be, just because it's kind of interesting what's going on with it, Popcorn Time. You heard about this?
Oh, Michael.
Michael.
I don't know how I feel about it at this point, but I think it's...
I know how I feel about it.
Yeah, that it's stealing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is stealing. But the fact that it... The reason it came on my radar is because they said they were going to release it for iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And did they? They say
I
they
don't
did.
Know.
There's some kind of.
I have actively chosen to ignore it completely.
Okay.
Because I mean, you should explain to people what it is, and yeah. maybe I don't fully understand what it is, but it's my understanding. It's
no,
like
it's an
BitTorrent, right?
Yeah, it's exactly BitTorrent. Yeah, it's a friendly user interface on top of BitTorrent, and it's geared toward finding movies and TV shows in a fairly decent user interface, and you can choose to seed or not with this thing. I don't know that I even watched anything with this. It's just it's a fascination for me, I guess. So
it is definitely something to be watching and to keep an eye on. In the wake of Pirate Bay shutting down, I think this is the thing everybody's kind of moved to.
Yeah.
That's the sense that I get. But
I think that more interesting here is that it provides a neat metric of what's being watched, what's popular right now. Because I don't have a problem going to the video store and renting a DVD, which I do because I'm Amish or whatever.
Wait a minute. Do you go to an actual video store and rent a DVD?
Usually. It's because it's easier.
I don't think I've stuck a little bit of plastic in a machine in
it depends.
A couple years now.
It depends.
You're so old school, Michael. Should I get off your lawn?
Yeah, you should get off my lawn. It depends on what's going on. If, like, If it's available to rent.
Do you have a store?
Yeah.
Like, is there an actual store you go into, or are you talking about a Redbox?
No, it's a store I go into, and it smells kind of funny.
There's a guy who sits there watching a movie.
Yeah. San Luis
must
is great.
Be college town.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thing. I don't know.
Part of the going to the video store thing is that even iTunes doesn't have new movies for rent.
Porn?
Yeah, you got to go to the porn movie. The porn room, right? There's beads or something. I think that's how it works. But, you know, those bead doors. So sometimes I go to the movie store. Sometimes I go to iTunes and rent something. And sometimes I wait for Netflix. So it depends on what's going on. Usually if it's like, hey, I want to watch this thing, we check iTunes. No, you can't rent it. Okay, let's go to the movie store. And I pay my $3. But
now you got a popcorn.
Well, yeah, we haven't done that yet. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. It's more interesting because it just shows you what's popular. And I always have the problem of finding what is a good movie to watch, right? Because I think that, I don't know. It's just another metric, I guess. It's a fascination. So I'll just say that that's my fascination pick. There's a movie with Ethan Hawke called Predestination that I found with that. I did not know about it, but it looks interesting. Did you guys hear about that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I'd never heard about it. So I think what happens is if I don't go to the movies in a while, I kind of lose track of stuff that looks interesting because it's really just trailers that get me. It has a little trailer interface in it too. So you can watch and see what's going on with that. So there's that. Otherwise, you know, you should support movies. I wouldn't support Mockingjay though, because that movie sucked because they cut it in half. But I think we've already been down that road. So I'm going to say that that's my fascination pick. And my real pick is a repick, which is Letterpress. So a lot of people have stopped playing it because it became very addicting. Or I think that was probably the issue, right?
I keep coming back to it. I have little stints with it. I did one a couple months ago and kind of fell off.
I invited you to a game and you didn't play it.
Oh, I didn't? Is it still sitting there?
Jerk. Yeah.
I'll come back to it then.
Yeah, go back to it. I don't have anybody to play with. So I'm going to say my real pick is Letterpress because people need to get on there and play with me.
Still awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's the problem. That is why I stopped, because it was too much fun and I kept playing it.
Yeah. I think the problem with a lot of these things, I mean, even like my pick, even the trivia stuff is like you kind of get on it for a while and then you get bored of it and then you just get busy and you don't come back to it. And then there's also a whole guilt factor that goes into, oh, Michael invited me to that game and I was busy at the time. I didn't have time to get back to it. And now it's been sitting there like forever. And now it just feels like going back to it. It's just like, you know, you feel like guilty.
You'd rather just be a bad friend.
I totally ignored you.
Yeah.
I'm here now, though.
Yeah,
is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
And by
just get on
you
there.
You think the person's like, screw you, dude. I've been waiting around forever.
And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. I listened to the show Reply All, and they made April 30th email debt forgiveness day, and not in the terms of like inbox zero, you know, like just trash
delete
everything in your inbox. What they're doing is it's the email that someone sent to you, but you just never knew how to reply, so then you just didn't reply, and then it's just sitting in your inbox forever, and then it like months go by, and then you're like, oh, and then you just feel really bad about that email. So the point is you can email on that day. What they're saying is you get to email the person as if you had just gotten the email that day.
I do that all the time.
Hey, blah, blah, blah.
Does that mean I have like, am I on the autism scale? Because I do that. I just do that. I don't worry about it.
Like even if it's like 3 months old.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey.
Well, it's clear that I didn't respond, right? And it is there. I left it in my inbox because I want to respond. Not because I just want to ignore them.
But it's like, for whatever reason, you know, and there's a million reasons why, but it's just like that email that you don't know what to tell the person.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really sure, and you want to be thoughtful about it and form it. You want to take time, and maybe you don't have time, but then you never get around to it, and then you're like, oh, my God. No. Yeah.
That's how the listeners communicate with me. Is they email me and 3 weeks later I email back.
Well, it gives them something to look
forward to. Or tweet me.
It's easy. Simulating traditional U.S. Postal Service mail.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? No postage required. It's totally free. It's a free experience. But tweet me if you have something.
I answer all my emails, so I've never had this problem, so it wasn't really relevant to me. I think the oldest email that I have that I haven't responded to is probably 4 or 5 days. I'm usually within 4 or 5 days, depending upon what it is.
There's one in here from January 27th that I still want to get back to.
Yeah, I do inbox zero, so my inbox is always empty.
I pretend to do that. Yeah, there's a comment I keep wanting to get back. Someone said, I like this comment from a listener. Caitlin says, hi, Tyos. Just a couple comments and questions. First off, can we please use the term consensual touch rather than forced touch? I've got kids and I'm trying to keep them out of jail.
Love it.
Yeah. So there you go. Now I responded to it. I can archive that.
There you go. You know, I totally avoid the stress over how many messages are in my inbox because I never look there. I set up smart folders in mail.
Yep.
And I just look at those. So I have no idea how many messages are actually in my inbox.
Yep.
I have now 23 unread messages in my inbox.
How many?
23 in all of my inboxes. Oh. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 inboxes.
I have 7. I win. 7 emails. But nobody cares. Let's wrap this thing up. Nobody cares about our email.
You
got to
keep in mind, I get, maybe you get as many. I get 200 plus a day, I'm sure. I don't even know. I don't even count.
No, I'm blessed.
Super quick.
I got out of that
game. You don't even want to know how many messages are sitting in my inbox.
No, I don't have that problem. And our listeners don't have that problem either. This is Inside Baseball, and they don't care. So let's wrap it up so they can go away and get on with their day. They want to go home.
Well,
so
they needed, but they needed to know about email debt forgiveness day. It's on the 30th.
It's on the 30th. So if you have problems getting back to people, that's the day, I guess, you can get back to them.
And just pretend like you were just, you know, replying the day they sent it to you. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to say anything. You just...
All right, so the picks in the show notes are at theiosshow.com. Review us in iTunes and tell a friend if you like us and you want someone else to check it out. So feedback at theiosshow.com. That's how you get a hold of us, and I'll respond to you eventually. Maybe we'll see. Usually I respond. Or Twitter works out very well because it's easy. It's only 140 characters. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. Adam is Matt Cast and Jeff is Jay Gamet.
Mm-hmm.
So probably better than email, but I appreciate the emails when they come in and I do hang on to them and try to respond to them. So go for it. Our sponsor this week, of course, is Lynda at lynda.com/TIOSS. You get a free 10-day trial with that. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome.
And Adam Christensen is at the Maccast. That's maccast.com. Check out his wonderful podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And as I said before, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm on Tumblr, and I'm on Appler, getapplr.com. And with that, we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully with watches in hand on the iOS show.
On risk.
Live and hope.
Yes, thank you.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. No.